everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Big City Catholics. I'm here co-hosting with Bishop Brennan. My name is Lucero, and we're excited to be with you today. Let's start in a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today, to gather in conversation, to hear about how our faith can be kept up in the summer, how the youth continue to engage in their faith in the summer. And we thank you for the hope of what this camp brings, of what Damascus does, and for the opportunity to continue getting closer to you and to continue helping the youth know you, to better serve you and to better love you. We give all glory to you as we say, glory be to the Father and to the Son
and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lucero, it's good to connect with you. How's your summer going?
Pretty good. You know, we're getting excited for next year, have a couple of things planned, ready to prepare for some big things happening in the next couple of years. So I'm even getting ready for World Youth Day, which is in a year, which is really exciting.
It's very exciting. We're coming up on the year mark. It should be fun. These days of summer, I think, are just great. We've had a real summer this year. We had a couple of heat waves in the midst of one now. You know, there's something even in the church here that's beautiful. Right now, these Sundays, I have all these parables of the sower in the seed and the mustard seed and the weeds in the wheat. All these great, great images of how the Word of God just like breaks through all the obstacles and accomplishes its purpose. And this week on Big City Catholics, we're happy to talk about Damascus Catholic Youth Summer Camp. I'm at Catholic Youth Summer Camp these very days when we're releasing the podcast, but we're talking ahead of the visit to get myself ready for that visit. So on our podcast today, I'm happy to welcome Caitlin Warner, who's been with Damascus as a missionary for quite some time. And she's involved with Damascus in Ohio and now in Maryland in their new endeavor. And of course, many of you know Father Henry Torres, pastor of Mary of Nazareth Parish in Brooklyn, who's there with a group from his parish as our sticking our toe in the water, you might say, hoping to bring bigger groups and more people in the coming years. Maryland is so much more approachable. I love Ohio. Don't get me wrong. I love Ohio. But Maryland makes Damascus approachable for our young people. So, Caitlin, how are you?
Oh, doing great, Bishop. Yeah, we're in week six. All campsites are in week six. And it's been really an awesome summer.
It's a new endeavor. This is something entirely new for you.
Yeah, brand new. Yeah, only we bought the campsite in Maryland, and it's just been crazy to see how the Lord has worked. You know, all the construction and getting the campers there and getting the missionaries. We've needed more missionaries than we ever needed before. So it's been really exciting to get to be a part of that and to see the fruit, just so far, the fruit that's been happening. So
what are some of the experience of Maryland versus Ohio? Is it a different experience? It's certainly a first experience for a lot of people.
Definitely. Yeah. So I think from an organizational standpoint with our staff, it's definitely smaller, right? So in Ohio, we have it's a lot bigger. It's a bigger space, bigger staff. And then at a regional camp, like in Maryland, we get a much smaller experience. So the staff gets to be a lot more intimate. It's a little scrappier, which honestly, I think is a little better sometimes, but really just allows us to really stretch ourselves and grow in new ways we get the opportunity to in Ohio. And it's been cool because the difference there is that Summit Lake, like the Maryland crew, those dioceses have been coming to Ohio for a couple years. And then with knowing that we wanted to build out there. So it's been sweet because it's in a different way. It's like the community out there was already existed. So when we moved in, it wasn't like we had to like figure out a way to get campers and get people to come. It was like they welcomed us in like as a new friend. And then we got to really come alongside them and partner with them. So I think that's a different experience where here in Ohio, we have people come from all around. Where in Maryland, there's a lot more of like the local people that are able to really pour in. And it's been cool to see them transition from coming to Ohio or maybe in Michigan, but going down to Maryland and getting different experience. So I think that's one thing. And then with that intimacy of the space, so everything is right there. The activities are a lot closer. The lodges and the auditorium and the dining hall and the lake is all just right on top of each other in a good way. And so it really makes us really feel like you're in like your own space. You just get to share the week together. You get to share the activities, share the spiritual experiences, you know, like mass and adoration and confession and our Eucharistic procession that'll happen later this week. And they get to really share all of that in a much more intimate way. So it's really different in that way.
That's great.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Knowing the experience in Ohio, it's a combination of a summer camp where kids have all kinds of adventures, but also a high level evangelization and really more encounter with Jesus Christ. Exactly. Why don't we talk about the activity part first? So what are the experiences that the young people have there?
Yeah, it's great. So we have lake time. So we have a lake, of course. It's the center, the heartbeat of the campus. And it's next to the chapel, actually, where our Blessed Sacrament is right by the lake. So the lake and the chapel are right next to each other. So that works out even just like the heart of our campus right there. We have lake time. So we have fun activities like the swim and then like swimming and then a blob where it's like you launch someone. It's like you land on a pillow and then someone launches you. It's very fun. And then we have, it's a great time. And then you have the water obstacles. So that's some of the stuff that happens on the lake. And then outside of that, we have paintball, always a fan favorite. We have high ropes course, a rock wall, archery tag, which might be as it sounds, you literally shoot arrows, but they're soft tipped, no worries anyone. That's a really fun experience. And then we have sacred art. So even in the midst of our high adventure activities, we always try to bring things into greater intention. So there is an activity about sacred art. And this summer, the campers get to make icons. So not quite writing a full icon like you would, but they pick an image and they get to like glue it onto wood and like paint gold and they do a meditation. So yeah, so there's some of the activities they get to do just in like the general day. But they're pretty sweet.
That sounds incredible. And even just being able to incorporate something physical and something that we've been talking a lot with our young people and even with the youth has been like the new saint that we just celebrated, St. Pierre Giorgio, who would just do a lot of those activities outside and have the space to be in prayer and to be in that kind of environment and still engage in those activities, which I think is so important to have a balance of both. How has it been like to have that incorporated now in Emmitsburg, with the lake being a little different and like is the setup the same for the activities in that way?
Yeah, pretty much the same. The same in the sense that we can do all the same things. It's just there's slight nuanced, right? So the lake in Maryland in Summit Lake is a little bit smaller. It doesn't feel smaller because you're still able to do all the same stuff.
And then, of course, faith is a very important element of the whole experience. And you really go deep into those experiences of faith. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it was the best part. It's cool. So really, our whole like philosophy within the thing we do is that high adventure activities lead into a high adventure faith, right? So we have all these awesome activities and they can go on the high ups course, they can play paintball and all this stuff. But every single thing is geared towards trying to get them to see that the Lord is present in all things. He's present at the high ups course, he's present at the paintball course, and then he's also present, of course, in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and in adoration, that he's not ever absent. And so our activities, even at our activities, we have ways that we can incorporate the faith into them. So let's say you have a camper who's going on the climbing wall and they're a little afraid, you know? And so it's like, okay, as you're climbing, like what's a truth that you want to come to know about yourself that maybe the Lord spoke to you in scripture, you know? So we can pray into that. When you're going to the archery tag where you're on teams and you're competing, it's like, how can we have healthy competition that is still honoring to the Lord, but it also teaches them virtue and integrity of like, okay, did you get hit? Yeah, you're out. And then making like what we would call like an activation, which is really just a way to try and make the faith more alive in the activity. So we'll do things where we maybe take a scripture story and we make it real life in the activities. And so really trying to build that into our activities, which has been really cool. So that's like just from the activity side. So we really try to build into that. So then, of course, we go into, so we have Mass every single day at camp, which is awesome. Sunday, we're at camp Sunday to Friday. So every camper gets the opportunity to go to daily Mass. And then we have adoration Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We have different ways in which we have adoration. So we have confessions during that time too. And so we have adoration at night in our evening program. And then we also have a time slot of confessions for about 4 hours where the campers get to go to confession. And our Lord is exposed in the Eucharist during that time too. So they just get to be in front of our Lord in the Eucharist so much. And then within that, we also have a Eucharistic procession that we do every single week, which is always pretty much every camper's highlight of the week, is they get to process throughout the campsite following our Lord in the Eucharist. And it's so powerful because you process through the campus and there's different saints along the way. We have monologues and these staff members share the stories of saints. And so it gives our campers even a visual way to see that, how do we follow Jesus? So we can follow the way of the saints who lead us into Jesus, right? Lead to his heart. And so it's really beautiful to to see like them, the same places that they're walking around going to activities. We then use that same pathway to be on the way to the Eucharist procession. So things like that. Yeah, I love it. Obviously, Bishop was saying, I oversee a lot of our, like all of our liturgical stuff. And so for me too, just to see how can I partner with our priests that come and our bishops that come to make every liturgy, every time of adoration, the most intentional for the campers, so we can give them the encounter of Jesus that we want them to have. And of course, we can't actually control it. It's all the Lord. But how can we prepare the way, prepare the environment, so it's most disposed for every camper to come to know the person of Jesus Christ and to honor the Lord in every setting, so that he's free to come and we just get to be vessels of that. So I guess that's kind of my initial response there.
That's great.
And to piggyback off Caitlin, the beauty about Damascus is that they are unapologetically Catholic. You know, this is Catholicism on to like the 20th power. This is, you know, so it's palpable. The Catholicity is palpable. I recently heard a statistic. This statistic was, to me, I mean, didn't sit very well with me, because, I mean, and I shared it with a couple of people, and some of them are just like, well, it makes sense. And I'm like, yeah, but you see, we're not talking about a math problem, right? And the statistic is that 1 out of 7 kids between the ages of 7 and 17 are depressed. And within those that are depressed, you know, the attempt of suicide, you know, and then there you add the factor of those who are successful and those who are not successful. But if you think about it, there's about 300 kids here. So statistically, that means that out of the 300, there's 42 kids here that are possibly depressed. So I think what's beautiful about here is that we can invite them to allow the Lord to encounter them in whatever it is that they're going through inside, right? In every level. Right. But most especially that statistic, that's scary, that 1 in 7 of our young people are depressed. So think about it, like that's 42 young people who are struggling with this reality. And the fact that we're here and we're telling them, like, we see you, and in light of what you're going through, you're loved and we are and encountered. I think that's where the transformative and giving God permission to enter into those areas, we see the transformation, you know.
Very powerful. Now, you have a small group because they were so oversubscribed. It was so popular. It was one. It's like the Taylor Swift concert when the tickets become available. The registrations fill right up. So you have a small group, but how is the Brooklyn group enjoying the experience? I look forward to seeing them, and I'll have a few of them on the podcast next week.
Absolutely. They're excited. They're excited. It's very different from being in Brooklyn, for sure. But they love the difference, the silence, and just being able to see other young people their age. I'm not too far from us. We have people from Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Jersey that are here and also love the Lord and are curious about what Damascus has to offer in this beautiful experience.
Great. Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah, Father, I just wanted to know, how has it been seeing the kids not only take in the new environment, but also the formation that Caitlin was kind of touching upon?
They're very receptive. I mean, one of the beautiful things that Damascus does very well is that they have prayer labs and they teach the young church to pray, you know. So I think that seeing them actually be open to that and receptive to like they have a beautiful small manual. We had confessions yesterday, seeing like how they walk them through an examine, have an examination of conscience. I think it's been very helpful. They're being taught how. So I think they're open. They're very much open, especially our Brooklyn kids, to like at least learn how to pray in a way that is not so formulaic, like, you know, the way our grandmothers taught us. I mean, the rosary is beautiful, but how do I have a heart to heart with Jesus? You know, how do I like break my heart open to the Lord? And I think Damascus does a very good job in slowly teaching the kids through the activities. Because, you know, one of my favorite activities is the high swing, right? And the phrase is, our Lord Jesus brings us freedom. And in that word freedom, they have to let the tab go, you know. So all that fear, whatever it is that's holding you back, you have to like tug it. So how you bring that to prayer as well, like, how do I just, even though I'm afraid to do it, I just kind of have to pull and trust that the Lord's got me. He's going to catch me.
So two confessions here, Caitlin. Last week, my niece's son was part of the middle school week and had a wonderful, wonderful time. When his mother told him that I was going to visit this week, he wanted to know if I was going to do a cannonball. The answer is no.
The invitation's always there, Bishop.
But he had a great time. And they were a family of great faith. So it wasn't strange to him, but the whole faith element, I think, was really important as well. One of the great things is the testimonies that the young people give at the end of the week, where you see the impact. Young people talk about what they experienced during the course of the week. Are you finding that to be the case this year as well?
Yeah, so every Friday, just for context, so every Friday, we kind of mentioned earlier, the camp is separated into two separate camps, right? In Ohio, at least, and then regional camps, they're either middle school or high school. And so every week on Friday, we have a closing mass at 1 o'clock. And there is about 40 minutes where we just let the campers come up on stage and share testimony. And it's truly one of the most, if there's anything other than my own personal conviction and mission that keeps me grounded and like faithful to my mission here at Damascus, is hearing the week after week, day after day, testimonies of campers who came to camp one way, met Jesus somehow, and then are going home a different way. And so, yeah, every Friday we get to hear so many of those testimonies of whether it be they were, like Father Henry was mentioning earlier, like so many of our young people, unfortunately, are struggling with depression or anxiety and stuff like that. And so you hear campers who find joy again, find hope again. And you find campers who had a really heavy thing going on in their life and they felt like the Lord came and brought them peace. We hear where people maybe came with some sort of injury and then the Lord brought healing in his kindness and mercy. And then also, like Father Henry mentioned too, like they have a sense of identity. And so a lot of campers come feeling really alone and they come and they get a sense of belonging and a sense of identity. Identity, of course, in who the Lord says they are and who they are in him. And then community and a sense of belonging because of the community and because of the small group style and being in a place where so many people are pursuing the same thing, the same person of Jesus. So the testimonies on Friday are really powerful. And we post some of them online, but it's really powerful to hear. Like you wouldn't even think some of the campers who maybe they seem to have a hard week and then they get up there on Friday and testify to a way that they came and met Jesus. So it's really powerful.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So Lucero, with our mission with young people, isn't this encouraging to see this kind of an opportunity and to see the impact that it has on young people's lives?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a tool that we want to continue to use, especially with our youth ministers, to have them encourage the kids to go to these kinds of things. I think to have that even more that balance of making the faith in a way that they can digest it and can see their faith in an activity, but also in a way that's manageable for them, that even if it's just cracking open or just seeing it in a new way that isn't their everyday or even a familial way, that can be new and renew and even become a flame in them to not only go, but come back different, kind of like how Caitlin was saying.
So Caitlin, I am looking forward to my visit. I'll be on my way down tomorrow. It'll be an exciting day and I'd love to see the new grounds and the reaction of the young people. But I thank you for what you're doing. You're no stranger to Brooklyn, aren't you?
No, I love Brooklyn.
Actually, you were here around the time that Pope Leo was elected.
Okay, this is crazy. I literally left Ohio checking for the white smoke and there was none. I landed at Newark, actually. And when I got off the plane, there was white smoke. So it was like just an hour of it. Yeah. And so I was like the day of, and it was sweet because we went to Times Square that night. I know like Times Square is like touristy, you know, I don't usually go to Times Square, but I was with some first timers. So I had to get them there before I took them to the real New York, you know, Brooklyn. So we went that first night and it was cool because they had pictures of Pope Leo everywhere in Times Square. So for that sense, it was worth it. And then we, of course, celebrated more appropriately, spending days in Brooklyn. But yeah.
You went to Mass at St. Agnes and then we had dinner near me.
Yeah, it was a beautiful parish, actually. Yeah, it was really beautiful. I love we don't have as many of those older architecture parishes here in Ohio. So it was super beautiful to see a more like Gothic style church. So cool.
Well, I look forward to seeing you and know that you're welcome here in Brooklyn. And to all, I hope you're enjoying these days of summer and finding some chance for your own renewal to grow closer in the Lord, even if it's just a little bit of quiet time or a different pace or the beauty of creation. But let the Lord speak to you. Let his words seep into your heart. And like the mustard seed we'll hear about on Sunday, let God do what he will, because God is always full of surprises. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a great
one. Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Big City Catholics. Tune in next week for some of the perspectives of the young people at Damascus in Maryland. God bless.